put your mind and heart on the Lord, and let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. As I continue to preach in your hearing, Easter, according to the Nicene Creed, part 3, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 730, the bus rolls on since January the 20th, 2017, day 1095 since January the 1st, 2016. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Go ahead and change that now in the back. As an evangelist, this is one of my favorite passages in the Word of God. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. This is a Savior you can believe in, for he had eyewitnesses lay eyes on him before he went back to heaven, after he rose from the dead. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And then Paul said, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. And we see here, and we believe, that this, all of this witnessing and all of these witnesses are part of the gospel. That's why I took the liberty to change the Nicene Creed to include this aspect of the gospel, that after Jesus Christ rose from the dead, many people saw him as proof, because God knew some would doubt. Join me in prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, before you and your holy throne of grace, powerless without you, weak and feeble, not able to do anything worthwhile without your touch, without your might, without your anointing. No matter how well prepared we might be, no matter how well we feel physically, Lord, we need your unction and your anointing, your freedom and your liberty, and the power of your Holy Spirit. Those among us who might be quenching your Holy Spirit with bad attitudes, bad spirits, hatred, racism, prejudice, pride, lust, stubbornness, pharaohistic pride, Lord, help them to confess their sins if they know you. Save those who are lost, and those who are lost, they cannot quench your spirit, but we can. We can grieve your Holy Spirit with our sins, carried into the house of God. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us and cleanse us of our sins, and help give everybody a heart that they do not want to grieve or quench your Holy Spirit. Every person who's saved. Lord, the Judases and the Sanballats and the Tobiases, the Hinderers, Alexanders, they, of course, tried to hinder and tried to stop the moving of your might and power. They can't. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd put them in their place again. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from this meeting, from this message. Lord, help everybody here do their job and do it well. Stay awake and stay alert. And Lord, we pray that you would cast out the devil, for he's the greatest hinderer of them all. His demons and his hosts and the satanic spirit of Judas and betrayal and Sanballat and Tobias out of this place and out of the hearts and minds and of the lives of the people who have that terrible issue in their lives. And give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil again, and save that soul that is nearest hell. Revive and reclaim the backslidden. And Lord, we pray that you would glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, regarding this powerful passage, and we will touch it every day this week and deal with it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, the complete gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, on the cross, Jesus was exposed to the eyes of unbelievers. But after the resurrection, he was seen by believers who could be witnesses of his resurrection. And I believe that this is a vital part of the gospel. Eyewitnesses. Peter, the disciples, Mary Magdalene, over 500 brethren at once, James, his brother, and then last of all, Paul, the Apostle Paul, who, used by the Holy Spirit, wrote this powerful passage that is come down to us through the ages. Wiersbe goes on to say, Peter saw him, and so did the disciples collectively. James was a half-brother of the Lord who became a believer. You know, family is something else. They're the last ones to believe. It's a strange phenomenon. But Jesus talked about it. He said that a prophet is not without honor save in his own, among his own kinfolk and family. It's a strange phenomenon. James was a half brother of the Lord who became a believer in the Lord after the Lord appeared to him. The 500 plus brethren all saw him at the same time. The resurrection of Christ is undeniable. And that's why we're in this Holy Week leading up to Resurrection Sunday, remembering what Jesus Christ did for us. So it could not have been a hallucination, as some devilish people claim, or a deception or a hoax. This event may have been just before his ascension. Christ came as a man, Danae, truly human, and experienced all that we experience, except that he never sinned. He was tempted, but he never sinned. If there is no resurrection, then Christ was not raised. If he was not raised, there is no gospel to preach. If there is no gospel to preach, then we have believed in vain, and we are still in our sins and on our way to hell. Deservedly so. The resurrection is not just important. It is of first importance, because all that we believe hinges on it, the resurrection of Christ. And that's why this week is so important. It is the most important week in the history of the world. And ladies and gentlemen, Dr. David Mathers said, celebrating Holy Week is not an obligation, but it is an opportunity and a privilege. It is a blessing. Every Holy Week you roll upon is a blessing. It is a chance to walk with the church. And I don't care what anybody says, there's a different atmosphere during Holy Week. I don't care what anybody says about it. It's a different spirit around. It's just a beautiful thing. It is a chance to walk with the church throughout time and history and throughout the world, as she, the church, walks with her bridegroom through the most important week in the history of the world. It is a chance to focus our minds on and seek to intensify our affections for the most important and timeless of realities. Indeed, it could even be said that all the Old Testament, Brother Andy, anticipates this week, and the rest of the New Testament reflects it in theology and practical living. My dear beloved Christian friends who are now being turned on to yoga, you don't need yoga. You need to learn how to focus again on Christ and to meditate on his word and to pray without ceasing. I know some of you were caught up with the CNN doctor this past week and the expose he did regarding yoga in his first show. And by the way, if they think our dear Indian doctor, I forget his name, he's a brain surgeon, is going to replace the man who committed suicide, they have another thing coming. The dear doctor, that's not his thing. And he's not as good or talented as the other guy who had the traveling show. And so I know that many of you were impressed with how that yoga, they say now, can help with diabetes, and yoga can help with blood pressure and all of that. You don't need to run to the East, dear Christian friends. You can experience those same things by what God told us to do a long time ago. Pray without ceasing. Focus on God. Focus on Jesus. Keep your mind stayed on God and on Jesus. You can do your regular American exercise and do that. Meditate on the Word. And on particularly in Holy Week, get your mind off of the world. Get your mind off of foolishness, materialism, money, sin and evil, rebelliousness, pride, trying to impress people who don't even notice you and don't care about you. They just want to use you for what you have. Get your mind on God, dear friend, during Holy Week. Focus on Him. Focus on Jesus. Meditate on the Word of God. Read the Easter story, if you will, the resurrection story, every day of the week. Fast and pray. And meditate on the Word of God. I guarantee you your blood pressure will fall. I guarantee you your sugar numbers will fall. You don't have to go to the Eastern world to start practicing something they created. Do what God told you to do. I know some of you don't like it, but you don't need to have a scatter brain during Holy Week. Keep your mind on God. Stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will keep you in perfect peace. Now that's free. That's free. Now on this Tuesday of Holy Week, we are continuing our series drawn from the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and a historical text based on the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that was passed down from the early church all the way to us today, called the Nicene Creed. Not only are we talking about the power of Easter and Resurrection Sunday, but we are talking about the importance of the historical Christian faith. So many Christians need to be reminded of that. Some of us received a history lesson on yesterday when the Notre Dame Chapel, I had the privilege of visiting that beautiful building some years ago. Notre Dame means My Lady. It's really in honor of Mary, not God, not Jesus, but Mary. Now, be that as it may, it's been standing for almost 1,000 years. That's half of Christian church history. And so I'm sure that many of you Googled the history of the Notre Dame Chapel, and you got a little church history. And that's good. And you need to do more of that. You need to learn about Jesus Christ. You need to learn about God. You need to learn about the Word of God. But you also need to learn church history. It will give you a great understanding of what the Lord is all about and what the church is about, the Bible-believing church. This is why I strongly recommend to pastors that you have an orderly teaching of church history. I believe that it will help retain people to Bible-believing churches, because they will not get all confused and mixed up with all of the different denominations. Be that as it may, not only are we talking about the power of Easter and Resurrection Sunday this week, but we are talking about the importance of the historical Christian faith and church that was passed down to us from the early church. How that we as Christians who are falling away today, falling away from it, ought to return to it. And how that the world ought to hear it so they can believe on Christ. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I hope it's not the case. But when we saw that steeple fall in that fire, and by the way, nobody has explained why this fire started. I just wonder, because I do believe in the sovereignty of God. We talked about that the other day. I do not believe accidents, things just happen. I don't believe in what we call accidents. And have you noticed nobody has really said what really happened? And it does not matter. The steeple on a church that has stood through two world wars, through all sorts of threats and attacks, came tumbling down. A church building that stood for nearly 1,000 years. This is why people were crying in the streets. People were holding their heads in their hands and singing songs. This was not, as somebody said, just another building. I believe that this was a sign from God, a warning from God Almighty, because we all know that God is not pleased with the Catholic Church. We all know that God is not pleased with the Protestant Church. And the way God deals with us is He chastises us. He warns us. God is very gracious today. God is very patient. God is very long-suffering. We don't understand this kind of love, this patience and this grace, because we don't practice it. That's one of the reasons why God is not pleased with us who name the name of Christ. God is not pleased with priests being homosexuals and raping little boys and little girls, pastors in Protestant churches now marrying homosexuals in His church, and raping women and raping nuns. God is not pleased with the church. Could it be that this was a symbol of God's judgment at the house of God across the country and around the world? For people are still shook up about that steeple falling down into the church, burning up like so many folk in the Catholic Church and in the Protestant Church and in the Baptist Church and in the Evangelical Church and in the Bible Church will fall off their pews to burn up in hell because of the evil that we have done in the name of God. God's not pleased, we know that. So could it be a sign? I'm not sure. I don't know. But it could be. Be that as it may, regarding the Nicene Creed, Dr. Ed Stetzer, a true man of God and a soul winner from his heart, said, "We are not a creedal people as Baptists." No, no, no. That is in the formal sense. He says it much nicer than I do. In that we do not consider creeds binding in the same way as some denominations do. However, we do see the value and are thankful for how Christians have formulated their faith through creeds for many centuries. It's all right. It's a good thing. It's okay. But don't hold it higher than the Holy Word of God. Don't hold it higher than the Bible. Amen, somebody. On Sunday, my beloved, we looked at the first section of the Nicene Creed, which states, "We believe in one God." That's what we believe. "The Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. Amen, somebody. I've already dealt with that. Get the tape. On yesterday, we began looking at the second section of the Nicene Creed, which reads as follows. Many of you can quote it. We believe and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father, before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Somebody ought to say amen. That's what we have believed for 2,000 years. And we would urge you to believe it on this Easter week. From these few words, my beloved, we see three important facts about Jesus Christ. The focus of Holy Week. It's not a church building. It's not clothes. The focus is not on a bunny rabbit. Yes, I love the Reese's peanut butter eggs. Yes, I bought some. And it is good. But it's not about the chocolate eggs. It's not about Easter egg hunts. It's not about going down to Macy's to buy some clothes. It's not about that at all. That's what the devil created to try to get us distracted from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Don't worry about buying a new suit. Just go to church. Don't go spending $500 trying to clothe everybody in new clothes. A tradition that comes from hell. Has nothing to do with God, has nothing to do with Jesus, has nothing to do with the Bible. Don't waste your money. Don't send your children on an Easter egg hunt. Just fry some eggs on Sunday morning and eat a good breakfast and go to church. Don't color any eggs. Don't even think about a bunny. Think about Jesus. Focus your attention on Jesus Christ. So on yesterday, we looked at the eternality of Jesus Christ. That he is eternally existent without beginning or end, just as God the Father is. He was born into this world on Christmas Day through the Virgin Mary, but he existed before he got here. We talked about that on yesterday. So secondly, my beloved, we see the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. He is the only begotten Son of God. He is somebody. Emphasis on only begotten. Hebrews 1:6 says, when he, God, bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Can somebody say amen on Holy Week? Jesus is not one among many. There is no one else like him. Can never be like him. The only begotten Son of God, his name is Jesus. John 3:16 calls him the only begotten Son of God, the Greek word translated only begotten is M-O-N-O-G-E-N-E-S, monogenous. It literally means one of a kind, while at the same time showing that Jesus is of the very same essence as the Father. I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ is somebody special. The apologist Norman Geisler points out that Jesus Christ was unique in that he alone, of all who ever lived, was both God and man. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is somebody special. Emmanuel, God with us. The rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, he is somebody special. You need to get to know him. You need to trust him as your Savior. My oldest daughter called this morning and emailed this morning and told me about a man that we knew, we met together. Picture of health, had it going on in life, died suddenly of an aneurysm. And we both pointed out together how that's why you need to be ready. I think about an old preacher friend of mine by the name of Sam Madison. When a report came out about somebody we knew who died, he would immediately bring up the question, was he saved? Was he born again? Because if he wasn't, if he had not trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, he or she was in hell. It was real to him. Do you know him? I'm here to tell you today, he's somebody special. That's what Holy Week is all about. That's what Resurrection Sunday is all about. The New Testament teaches the fully unified deity and the humanity of Christ. He's somebody. The Nicene Creed states, the uniform belief of all Orthodox Christianity, that Christ was fully God and fully man, fully God and fully man. He's somebody special. You need to know him. In one person, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. That's the meaning of that name. All heresies regarding Christ deny one or both of these propositions. This, as a claim alone, makes him unique above all other religious founders or persons who have ever lived. And it can be backed up with factual evidence. He is somebody. James, his brother, saw him. Peter saw him. Mary Magdalene saw him after the resurrection. All of the disciples saw him. Thomas saw him and said, my Lord and my God. Over 500 brethren saw him. These are facts. These are eyewitnesses. I'm here to tell you that he's somebody special. Do you know him? If Jesus were not unique this way, he would be just one of many religious founders, Danielle. Founders with similar teachings about how to get to heaven, but not like Jesus' teachings. Jesus completely eternal, completely unique, leaves us no room to contemplate him as one of many. He stands alone above everybody because he is God. Do you know him? I'm here to tell you that he's somebody special. Do you know him as your Savior? Have you been born again? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about church membership. You're belonging to a church building. Do you belong to Christ? Have you been saved? If you have not been saved, if you have not been born again, allow me to share with you how you can be saved today. The Bible makes it very clear and very simple. It is not hard. It is not difficult to be born again. Why would God make it hard for ignorant, sinful people as we are? He made it easy. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws, God's commandments. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. From the Pope on down, from the Catholic Church on down, from the Protestant Church on down, we all have sinned against God. I'm telling you that religious people have sinned. We all have come short. Makes no difference whether you're red or white or black or brown. We're all in the same boat now. Secondly, accept the fact, dear friend, that there's a penalty for sin. There's a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Our bodies die. I told you about Mr. Roche, a picture of health, had it going on in life, was energetic, on point, dropped dead recently. Now, Mr. Roche was born again. He was saved. You can drop dead too. You're no different than Mr. Roche. We all will die one day if we live long enough. Our bodies will be put in a grave. Our soul will go to hell if we have never trusted Christ as Savior. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that." Well, Jesus did. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than most preachers preach today. That's why I preach on it every day. Because Jesus Christ preached on it. A lot. So accept the fact, dear friend, that if you have never trusted Christ as Savior, I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about how much money you gave to the church. You're on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, here's some folks who are going to hell if you're a little bit confused. "But the fearful are going to hell, and unbelieving are going to hell, and the abominable." Those who commit abominations such as homosexuality, lesbianism, incest with their own family members, sex with dogs, molesting children, raping children and killing them, and murderers, the Bible says, are going to hell, and whoremongers, the heterosexual sinners, men and women, even in the church, who have sex with anybody they want to, commit fornication and adultery. The abominable and murderers, whoremongers and sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo and sorcery and who love that kind of thing. Idolaters, anybody who put anything before God or anybody before God. And all liars. If God didn't catch you on the other ones, he got you on this one. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You say, "Preacher, you're trying to scare me." Are you scared? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just stating facts. I'm just reading the Bible to you. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Now, hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. While you're dangling over hell, you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to drop off into hell. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you shall be saved. That's what this week is all about. For Jesus Christ himself, speaking of himself, said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." God so loved the world, that includes you, if you're living in this world, that he gave his only begotten son. He was speaking of himself, Jesus Christ. He sacrificed his only son as the sacrificial lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. That includes your sin and mine. Yes, our lying, our fornication, having sex with people we're not married to, our adultery, having sex with people who are married to somebody else, homosexuality, bestiality, having sex with animals, having sex with your own family members, your own flesh and blood. You're going to hell, I guarantee it from the word of God, if you don't repent and trust Christ as Savior. That whosoever, that word whosoever, is referring to anybody at any time, black, white, red, or yellow, rich or poor, billionaire, pauper, president, or just a citizen. Whosoever believeth in him, in Jesus, should not perish in hell, that is, but have everlasting life in heaven with God, with Jesus, with the saints and with the angels. It's a wonderful deal. Some of you have life insurance you pay every month. Some of you have health insurance just in case you pay it out. You're just paying big time money just in case. You have to have car insurance or you'll go to jail. Just in case you get into an accident. Just in case you're on your way to hell, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to have an eternal life insurance policy signed by the blood of Jesus. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not me, not a preacher. Shaking the preacher's hand, having the preacher to slap you and knock you down, that means nothing. Giving money to the church, doing good work in the church. If you're lost and on your way to hell, you're going to be lost and on your way to hell right from church. Many, many so-called church folk are in hell today. Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you and for me, so that we can live eternally with him. So while you're believing in your heart, pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul. Here's God's promise on it. Romans 10, 9 and 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, there's that word again, whosoever, anybody at any time, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. How about it, dear friend, wherever you are in the world? Some of you are gathered around devices and computers in countries all around the world. You know who you are. You know God is speaking to you. Trust him as your Savior right now. Follow me in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have lied before. I've stolen things before. I have dishonored my parents before. I've taken your holy name in vain before, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, to turn from my evil ways, and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again from the dead on Easter Sunday morning, allow me to say congratulations. to you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you. We love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.